Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some of these cases, like, I just didn't like a lot of these quarterbacks. Like, I've never had the Jalen Milroe gene. Like, I understand. He's a phenomenal athlete. I just have watched a lot of football where he is not even seeing the field. He can make a home run play here and there, but, like, I've just never thought he's that good. Now, Ty Simpson's had the chance to win that job many, many times and has never done it. Like, could they upgrade there? Maybe. But, like, I think that's kind of the interesting aspect is how many teams – could have a better quarterback situation by actually having a new quarterback. Like who, Blake, who would you have faith in? Like we've discussed Arch at length, but like who are some guys that you would kind of want to bet on?
I think Texas could have a better quarterback situation going from Quinn to Arch. I think Notre Dame could have a better quarterback situation going from Riley Leonard to CJ Carr. But yeah, point well taken. Some of these schools going from one to the other doesn't mean they're just necessarily going to be a huge drop off, but it doesn't mean it's going to be better either. Like I look at Ole Miss, right. I think Austin Simmons is going to be a good quarterback for them, but do I think he's going to be better than what Jackson Dart was last season? Probably not. I mean, the odds say that he won't be. Jackson Dart was really good for Ole Miss last season. And, he had a couple bad games as Dart tended to do throughout the course of his career, but by and large, he was pretty good. And I think Austin Simmons is going to be pretty good, but I don't know if he's going to be better than Dart. At Alabama, I think the key to Alabama being better has to go beyond Ty Simpson. Alabama has to be better at every other position because of what you just said. Like Ty Simpson's had chances to win the job before and he didn't. And I agree with you, like Jalen Milroe, in terms of like seeing the field, making the right reads, having the right touch on passes, that was always a little bit of an adventure. But he did have that X factor of he could turn a corner and just be gone in a blink. And Ty Simpson's not a stiff, but he's not going to turn the corner and be gone like Usain Bolt. No. And so
Alabama, he doesn't have track speed.
Exactly. He doesn't have track sprinter speed. Alabama could be better on offense, but it has to be more than Ty Simpson. They have to be better at wide receiver. I think they are. They have to be better at offensive line. Jury's out on that one. They have to eliminate turnovers. That's a key. You look at Alabama's four losses last year, they had 10 turnovers in those four losses. Jalen Milroe had a hand in a lot of those. And so that's one way where Ty Simpson, I think, could make them better is don't turn the dang ball over and let the supporting cast go to work. But the supporting cast has to be good enough. Like, I think the quiet part that maybe the folks at Bama aren't saying out loud, or maybe they are like in the hallways, but not out publicly, is like, they want Ty Simpson to be like a Greg McElroy type of quarterback, right? Or that from that ilk, like the early Saban days, I think they think like he's a guy that can make the right decisions, get the ball in the right places where they need to be. But for that to work, you better have everything else right about that offense, and Alabama didn't have everything else right about that offense last year. Their offensive line was inconsistent, and I thought their wide receivers were insufficient last year. Kalen DeBoer had better wide receivers in his final season at Washington than he had in year one at Alabama. I think they've addressed that a little bit by adding Isaiah Horton, the transfer from Miami, but still, I don't know that this is the wide receiving core that was on Nick Saban's best teams.
Blake, you're great to join us. We appreciate it, man.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, USA Today, senior national college football columnist. When we come back, let's get into the list. We've had a big day of news in the NBA. Also, want to get to an interesting story I saw about, Tim, we got baseball players complaining, and I want to discuss it because I thought this was an interesting story that The Athletic did about the strike zone. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings. Why, might you ask? Well, number one, you get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers because they have a large collection of both natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. You can even customize your engagement ring over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and it's nowhere near as daunting as it sounds. I was an absolute idiot knowing absolutely nothing about the diamond process, ring jewelry, really, for that matter. But we went to work at Robert Irwin Jewelers. I brought in a couple of pictures of ideas that my wife liked, and we made that ring come to life. We came in under budget, and it's a ring that my wife absolutely adores. You can also do so with peace of mind, because for any reason, if you're not happy with your custom-made engagement ring, you can take advantage of the mint-to-be guarantee. It's a 365-day return policy, no questions asked. They also have free ring sizing for life. And don't forget about Robert Irwin Jewelers' free jewelry spa service for life. They can make your ring and jewelry come out looking like the day that you got it. You can even ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers has over four decades of experience in the jewelry business, and they have become a trusted name for generations of families. Five locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. George, let's get into the list. Greg Popovich. All right, Tim, I don't think this was really a surprise to anyone. Obviously, when Greg Popovich had the stroke earlier this season, I think many people had started to do the math of how much longer would Greg be the coach of the Spurs. And then I think it really solidified for me. I think a couple of weeks ago they mentioned he had another health setback, and at a certain point you just, hey, it's not worth risking your health just to get back onto the bench. I wanted to ask you this, though. Did it surprise you that the Spurs, they basically went internal? Mitch Johnson, who was their interim head coach, they took the interim tag off him, and they're making him the head coach. Did it surprise you? Because I think there's a case to be made. This could have been one of the most attractive jobs you could possibly have open. And, you know, jobs like this don't come on the market very quickly. I personally was just a little surprised that they didn't at least consider it.
Yeah, I know. And with the news of Memphis doing the same, this one was more surprising to me because I think immediately, at least my brain went towards Becky Hammon, right?
I was honestly thinking like, hey, I think Kerr's going to retire. Like, I think Kerr's going to be attached with Steph, but Kerr's got a lot of ties to that organization. Played there, got a lot of ties. And honestly, I think I would have at least, hey, Eric, you look pretty miserable down in Miami right now. Any chance?
No doubt. And, you know, there was I saw a tweet come out. And I don't think they would have done this, but, you know, Bill Self and what R.C. Yeah. Buford have connections. Yes. I thought they would. I really thought they would come calling in my neck of the woods and you know, kind of make the historic hire for Becky Hammon. I thought she went to the WNBA essentially for this job. That was just my gut saying, all right, get her head coaching experience. She won a couple titles. And now if they were to make that move, it wouldn't be like, oh, you're just making it for PR. Like, she earned her way there. So I was certainly surprised. I don't know if this is a fair comparison, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of Duke and being like, oh yeah, we're just hiring John Shire. You're like, wait, what? Oh,
no, okay. I think that's a great comp. I mean, it's like, who knows if it works. And obviously it's a little different in college basketball because programs can kind of, you know, it's obviously different from a roster building, but it definitely has kind of the same vibe. Like they announced, you know, what it was, we get the announcement and then basically what, 20 minutes later, we find out, no, Mitch is just going to be the coach.
Yeah. I really thought there were going to be a handful of options that they could go to. And there's no doubt this is a very attractive job. You've got a superstar in Victor Wembanyama, maybe not a superstar yet, but it looks like he's on the path. Hopefully this blood clock situation is nothing too
serious.
And I
guess it is fair to ask, if you're a sitting head coach, and it doesn't happen very often, are you a little worried about that?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, of course you are. But you've got this treasure chest of draft picks now. There's the rumors about Giannis. We'll see if those come to fruition. And then I do wonder, and I'm not trying to diminish the season that Gilmore had this year, but I do wonder, was this a... or Castle. I don't know why I said Gilmore. Yeah. Stephen Castle had this year. Because it was an underwhelming rookie class and, you know, he got a lot of opportunities with a rebuilding squad. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It, you know, I'm not saying this is going to be full on. What was it? Michael Carter Williams, who won rookie of the year that one year when it was a wildly underwhelming year. And he's, I don't even think in the NBA anymore. So, but yeah, on the surface, it looks like a very appealing job. And especially if they're going to make a big splash in free agency. And oh, by the way, what? They've got a 8% chance?
Yeah. 7.5% chance.
Now,
so they finished 8.
I don't think the league's going to allow that to happen. But man, if they were to magically get number one, whoo, buddy. Cooper Flagg, Wemby, Castle, tons of picks in the future to potentially make another
Aaron
big
Fox.
Splash.
I forget, like that was one of the like that was one of
oh,
the.
Oh, that's
the
right. I forgot about that. They got De'Aaron Fox. Oh my gosh.
Like, I don't know. I and what I can never tell though is, you know, sometimes you and I've talked about this. There are certain players that players have a different view of than we do. Like, I think it's fair to question at this point. We started the show talking about Luka. I do wonder if, like, the league views Luka as a worse player than the consensus does. I think it's like it works in the opposite. Players have, like, a higher respect of Kyrie Irving's game than we do. Like, I wonder if, like, we all sit there and look at this Spurs team and we're like, man, if I'm a coach, like, I think I'm trying to get there. Like, that looks like a roster you'd really want. But maybe the league doesn't view it as such.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, I've been to San Antonio for all of like 48 hours, so I can't speak to like a life down there. But yeah, I mean,
I've never understood that argument. You only have to live there during the season, and you're on the road half the year. Like, you're making so much money. If you want to go off season in Miami, you can go do that. Like,
well, also,
all the players,
like,
live in L.A. in the summer.
Well,
I've never understood that argument.
I mean, there's, what, 30 cities that have – well, I guess not 30 because New York has two.
New York
LA
has two.
Has
L.A.
two.
Has two. And that's right. That's it, right?
Yeah, so 28 cities. They're all pretty cool cities. Like, if they were like, hey, Tim, you have to live in Oklahoma City, I'm sure I could find a very nice house with my millions of dollars somewhere in Oklahoma City.
And by the way, your millions of dollars go a lot farther there than they do in L.A.
Right. So, but yeah, to sum up your question, yeah, I was surprised, but maybe this is also a situation like, look, Greg Popovich, I think he's got a pretty strong approval rating for what he was able to do in his tenure with the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, when the big three got together in Miami, Pat Riley was like, you remember this guy who was cutting tape? Yeah, he's your head coach and he's going to be good. Maybe Pop is like, this kid's got it. He's going to be good. And maybe we should as of now, trust in his intuition of this was the guy that he clearly handpicked.
Well, the other thought that I had, and again, this is wildly unfair to Mitch. You don't really want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
That's true. That is also true.
It was a lot easier to be Ron, you know, it's a lot easier to be Urban Meyer than it was Ron Zook.
Old Ron Zook.
And I mean, like, that was kind of the other, but I mean, I think obviously you can't dismiss the fact that he's still going to be the president of basketball operations. And it seems clear to me that this was a succession plan. It's like, I don't know if they maybe planned on it happening. Like, I presume the health issues sped the timeline up, but it's almost like they kind of viewed it as this was the plan. We're going with the plan. But you also can't help but wonder, if you want to talk about comps, like Jerod Mayo, you know, that timeline got sped up. I don't think he was quite ready.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Now, obviously, like, that got sped up because owner and Belichick, like, their relationship had deteriorated to, like, being really hostile, and, like, it just couldn't happen anymore. But, like that's kind of the – Jerod Mayo is also one of those coaches that, like, I'd kind of flag for – if you told me in, like, 5 years, 5 to 10 years, he got another gig, I'm not as convinced that, like – I don't think we've seen – the definitive Jerod Mayo can't coach. I do think he was overwhelmed this year, and I think it didn't help that their roster absolutely sucked, but his team looked overwhelmed. But he's also not someone that I'm willing to just like say that guy could never figure it out again.
I'm trying to think of an example like that where the first gig was a Carroll. Disaster.
Carroll, it didn't work.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, he went to – I mean
– Thanks, guys.
You think about –
Well, I think his first was the – Was it Jets first or Pats first?
I thought it was Jets, then Pats. I could be
Jets
wrong.
Jets, then Pats. Sorry, George. I didn't.
It's okay.
It took the third time.
Also, for what it's worth, I was looking at Mitch Johnson because, you know, obviously with that news coming down, I was curious. He's been in their organization for a decade now. I think
No, I mean, they clearly are doing, like, the internal. This is, like.
This is the guy that we've picked out for quite a while.
It seemed like this
now.
Was their plan. I don't know, man. I just would have been tempted with that roster to at least do some exploring. Because I guess this would be my only point. Is there really a Spurs culture? Or did they have Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Monty Ginobili in their prime for like 15 years?
And Kawhi
then. Like, how much of the Patriots' way is Belichick, and how much of the Patriots' way was they had Tom Brady, who took a pay cut for 20 years?
Like,
I think oftentimes organizations kind of trick themselves into believing that they have a secret formula. And it's like usually the secret formula can be boiled down to this. They got really good players.
Hey, man, the Heat culture got them into the 8 seed this year, baby. Come on, defied the odds and came out of the play-in tournament.
Oh, this is another take, though. Was Heat culture really Heat culture? Or was Heat culture Jimmy Butler culture?
Playoff Jimmy.
Playoff Hemi?
I mean, Jeffrey, if you ask Tyler Hero, it was Jimmy.
I mean, I seriously, because I think very highly of Spoelstra. Like, yes. I've watched him take some teams that I think absolutely suck, and he's made them into incredible teams. He looked so miserable this year. And again, I'm sure Riley also has the succession plan where he's going to be Pat Riley eventually. And so maybe there's no way, but I would have at least been like, hey man, you want a little bit of a fresh start?
Is that frowned upon in the association? I don't know the rules. Like,
so,
college,
I mean,
there are no
rules. There would have to be compensation. I mean, I would say this. I don't think it's as serious as the NFL, but there's definitely a sense of, hey man, you don't take our coach until we fire our coach. But I think that was kind of the other thing that was interesting. Does this mean that Michael Malone's not going to get a job? I guess Phoenix? But then, like, if you're Michael Malone and you know that, like, are you really going to take the Phoenix job until?
No, I'm not taking
until
the Phoenix
you figure
job.
Figure out no. like what is their plan, and then on top of that, we didn't talk about this. Did you have Brian Gregory running an NBA front office on your bingo card yesterday?
No. They make some weird decisions down there in the old Valley of the Sun.
This is purely Wikipedia research, but it made sense to me. Brian Gregory was Matt Ishbia's position coach at Michigan State.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be so Denver.
Is Philly going to make a move?
Why haven't they made it yet?
That's my point. So it's like, if you haven't made a move now, are you?
Are the Knicks keeping, what's his name? Are the Knicks keeping
Thibodeau?
I mean,
I think if you're Malone,
to me, the question is, has anyone gotten an indication that Brunson and those guys don't like Tibbs?
I don't know.
I haven't seen anything suggesting that they don't.
New York,
they all play pretty hard for him.
I don't think they get rid of him. He is old. I mean, he's getting up there. He's 67.
You'd mentioned earlier. I mean,
he's been there for.
Is Doc going to be back? But like some of these jobs, like I don't think you could take these jobs until you got answers about what you're doing. Like,
I think Doc's back. I think they would have made the move already.
But let's say he wasn't.
If I'm Malone, I don't know if I go there.
You can't do anything until you know what Giannis is doing, and it's not like there's any clarity on that.
I can't believe Tibbs has been in New York for 5 years.
Job we're missing? Because Nurse is going to keep his gig, right?
Yeah, it seems that way.
New Orleans probably would have done it by now.
Did we just go through
Brooklyn?
We just go through an entire cycle where every interim got the job. Christie, right? Christie got the job in Sacramento.
Adelman hasn't gotten it yet in Denver, but I think that's what they want to do.
That seems like that's where the Denver and Grizzlies situation rhymes way more than it feels like people are giving it credit. Everyone's so focused on. Well, Malone won a championship. It's like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the situation that arose this year. Friction with the front office, a team that had largely checked out. It was a team that had to backfill its roster with young players that really struggled defensively, and there was just not a lot of buy-in. They have hired a up-and-coming assistant that they're very high on, and they were trying to give him the gig. Like, the whole thing rhymes, and I feel like I'm the one taking crazy pills when anytime I point that out to everyone, it's just like, you don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'm trying to think of anywhere else that, I mean, it does feel like, though, some of these younger teams that if they were going to make the change, like, for example, if Toronto was going to make a change with Rajakovic, they would have done it by now. New Orleans would have made the change by now. Brooklyn would have made the change by now. If
Dallas fired Jason Kidd, right?
No, that was a ballsack sports, but like, also if you're Jason Kidd,
do you even
like that was the other
there?
Thing. It's like, you know, Jason Kidd falls under the category of, I think, coach that. It's, you know what, like, you go back to the start of the show, it's not just coaching LeBron. I think sometimes coaching these guys that are the transcendent players, it's like if you don't maximize every playoff series. Everyone just thinks you're a bad coach. Like, well, I think Jason Kidd's kind of been proven to be a pretty good coach.
Well, that's kind of what Austin Rivers was saying on the podcast that I alluded to, which was like he was like, I'm not speaking for my dad. He's like, I'm speaking for me as his son and as his, you know, family member. He's like, everywhere he goes, he puts himself in these pressure cookers, whether it's L.A. with the Clippers, with Paul and Griffin, and then going to Philly with Embiid and George there yet? No, George wasn't there yet. But the expectations that you've got to win.
Harden,
and then
right?
Yeah, that's when they had Harden. Yeah. So he was like, I want them to break this thing down so he could get back to coaching and have less pressure and kind of show that he is a pretty good coach.
What's the job that everyone thinks he did the best job with? It was
Orlando.
Those teams that weren't very good.
Right. Because when he won in Boston, it was, well, of course he won in Boston. He had
only won them. It's now it's he only won one.
Right.
It's interesting that these. Does it say anything that the organizations are like? It feels like everybody's like kind of doubling down on our kind of guys. You know what I mean? Like the Grizzlies, like they're doubling down on like George. I don't know how much you've been following on social media, and I'm not saying that that is an appropriate reflection.
Yeah, it's on fire.
But this is not a popular hire.
No, it's not.
Who'd they want?
Well, that's my issue.
Who's the hot candidate?
Tim.
Who's the guy? Michael Malone, was he coming to Memphis? I don't think so.
That's been my big issue. Myself, and I've talked about it with Jeff pretty much every morning this week, and that's always been our question. If not who they have right now, who already seemed like he was the front runner, then who? It's the same problem that we're having in these conversations about potential trades or ways to fix the roster. Okay, if not what we already have, then who? Pose something actual, like, of substance, and then we can talk about it.
And again, it's important to note, we have no idea what the level of interest is. I do think, though, the organization could have at least appeared to have done a real search. And if you stumble upon, if you get to the end, you do the real search, and then you're just going to go ahead and do what you wanted to do anyway, which is hire Tuomas, I think people would feel better about that. But like the point that my buddy Kevin Cerrito made with me on Wednesday, Memphis has never had a great track record of signing free agents. I think the market definitely plays a part in that. But if you're a free agent, there's not 30 other jobs. Like, you know, you can play a position. There's a bunch of roster spots that you can go get. There's only 30 jobs in coaching. And we've had some of these guys have worked, some haven't, but like we've had a decent amount of success of getting big name either executives or coaches. We hired Jerry West. When they got Fratello, that was a big hire. Like it was like, where's Fratello going to go? They got Fratello. It didn't work out, but Mike Iveroni was a big time hire. There was this thought of this guy could change basketball. Like he was wildly overwhelmed and he couldn't do the job. But even with Fizdale, like Fizdale was considered the hottest name. The two names that I kind of thought would have at least generated some excitement and shaken things up a little bit was Malone and then Mike Brown. And like, I get it. Mike Brown's not a perfect coach, but like he at least would have been something different. And I think that's the problem is everybody feels like they've been doubling down on the way they do things and it doesn't work anymore. To Tim, your point, they're stuck in neutral. Like that's the thing. They had a 48-win season, but it felt like a disappointment.
Yeah, and I'm not defending necessarily the hire, but I am curious because you always think that coach is going to be great. Like, remember when Dwayne Casey got fired by the Raptors and yep. He won Coach of the Year, and then he goes.
Well, I mean,
to the
that's
Pistons?
The other thing. Like, if you look at it now, Malone was Coach of the Year, got fired. The executive was executive of the year. He got fired. The guy that the Suns just replaced, he was executive of the year like 2 years ago. Like these guys that have, like what we're seeing is like these titles don't mean anything.
Well, did Budenholzer, was he coach of the year they won the title?
I don't know if he was fired, but he was fired the next, I think it was 18 months. I think it was 18 yeah, months. Maybe not even 18 months.
After they went to the playoffs, got knocked out. Vogel got fired shortly after winning a title in Los Angeles. And then he got fired in Phoenix, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's wild. Like, who do you want?
Did won Coach of the Year in 15 and 19.
Okay. So, because he won it in Atlanta, and then he got fired from Atlanta.
Yep.
I don't know if anyone's saying this out loud, but I think the thought that the fan base would have is, while the rosters are not apples to apples, there are some similarities with the Grizzlies and the Cavs. And the Cavs this year had a year where they stayed healthier and they made a coaching change that took them to a different level. I think there was the hope of you go and you get a good proven coach and then you could kind of again, I'm not saying that they would be on the Cavs level, but that would be your way of shaking things up and getting a better result next year.
Isn't it wild real quickly about the Cavs situation? So they fire J.B. Bickerstaff, and you're like, what? That's kind of weird. And then they hire Atkinson, and whether it's health or whatever it is, they take off. And then Bickerstaff gets a job in Detroit, and he did a hell of a job in Detroit, and they're clearly happy because Monty Williams, that did not work out well. So yeah, it's kind of funny how that situation has played out. And I'll say this too, like, I continue to be surprised that James Borrego hasn't gotten another head coaching crack, because I thought he did a pretty good job with nothing in Charlotte. Yeah. But there's a reason he's not a head coach right now. So what do we know?
No, and I mean, honestly, maybe teams are starting to think of it in the way that, I mean, honestly, I kind of do, which is, I think of all the major sports, in terms of X's and O's, calling plays, everything, I think the coach matters the least in the NBA. I think it's very proven the roster matters way more than the coach does. The coach is largely, like, a button pusher, like, figuring out how to establish roles and, like, set kind of a culture. And maybe these organizations are saying, like, we need someone that's all in line, and it's the roster is the most important thing. Does that make any sense? Anybody buying that?
It makes sense. I mean, yeah, that tends to make sense. But then that, in a way, that feels then like this is just the front office, or in this case for the Grizzlies, Kleiman, just trying to continue to have someone that he has a level of, I don't want to say control necessarily, but it does then feel like it's kind of a yes man.
The only thing that I would say in fairness to Kleiman, we have no idea what Robert Parra thinks.
Oh, because he doesn't, well, we haven't seen him in how long?
Well, I mean, it's just like, it could be entirely possible that, like, Zach Kleiman just does what Robert Parra wants him to do. We have no idea. It doesn't seem that way, because I think most people think, for the most part, Parra seems to be kind of hands-off. But, I mean, that's kind of the X factor. Like, what if everything they're doing is what Parra wants them to do? He does own the team. I don't know. I guess I'm just...
Could this be a thing of, like, timing as well? And I was thinking about this earlier, especially after what...
The timing be good? Like, isn't this the perfect time to do a coaching search? The playoffs are going on. There's not really anyone that's like, I mean, we just talked about it. Like, most of these jobs are getting filled internally. Like, your candidate pool is going to be pretty deep.
I more so mean, like, having to make their decision and be decisive about it sooner rather than later, when the biggest roster question mark is kind of predicated on, okay, did Jaren Jackson make all NBA this year? Because where that money ends up going, and yeah, that level, I mean, of flexibility over the next two seasons, if you don't have a coach in place where you kind of have the idea of what the roster shape should be, whenever that time comes, you're really working on borrowed time then.
I guess my only argument would be, why did you have to hire Tuomas today?
Now that's a good question. That's the better question, I think.
I think that's the thing, and if I were to put my feet into the shoes of Grizzly fans right now, and George, I know you've got more of a pulse on the reaction there in town, but yeah, why now, right? What's the rush? Is someone beating down the door to get Tuomas? I don't think so. There's no other job. So, like, who were – and it's not like it's college basketball, right? Like,
right.
When did the Lakers hire JJ? It was like in July. He coached, or it was like late June, right? He finished out calling the NBA Finals, if I remember correctly. Like,
and
there's
when did we have the whole
Hurley?
Yeah, the Hurley thing. That was during the playoffs, but, like, yeah. Was that during the finals?
Might have been during the finals, if not Western Conference Finals, because the Lakers got swept by the Nuggets, right, in the first round last year?
It was gentleman's sweep.
Did they win a game last year? Okay. Yeah, they swept them 2 years ago.
J.J. Redick got hired in June.
Okay. So, like, yeah, I don't, like, I guess the
Grizzlies don't have a draft pick. Like,
the timing to me doesn't seem to be like what was the rush. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, we've got Rockets Warriors tonight. The Lakers aftermath is still going to be a discussion because it always is. Pop is retiring. It feels like a news dump. You're like, hey, let's just put it out now here. And I know they're not thinking that, but like, Friday afternoon with a game 7 tomorrow night, a game 6 tonight, a game that ended essentially on a buzzer beater last night. Pop retires. I don't know. Kind of good time to be like, oh, yeah, here you go. All right, see you later. Have a good weekend, everyone.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about our favorite games of the weekend. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yeah. All right, Tim, you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show. For games of the weekend, not much better in sports than Game 7. I don't know. This is like a Game 7 that I don't feel like I'm super fired up about, because I just kind of think what's going to happen is the Clippers are going to do what the Clippers do, which is they're going to go on the road, and it's just going to be a disappointing, like, I don't know. Is that really a Clippers problem, or is that more of a James Harden problem? Like, I just don't have a lot of faith that this game is going to be classic.
No, it's a Clippers problem. The Clippers are, the more I think about it, they're one of the more snake-bitten franchise. I mean, they've made it to the Western Conference Finals once, and that was the year that Kawhi got hurt, right, during the playoffs.
Yep. It felt like a Pyrrhic victory, like a
congrats, you got there. And then, you know, we've had him on the show, my, I guess now former co-host, he's doing the earlier afternoon show now, Jonathan Von Tobel. He's a Clipper fan. It's brutal, man. They should have.
Yeah, I gotta
give
him credit.
They're up.
He tried to talk me out of, because I'm still sitting here with my Clippers Western Conference pick, my ticket. He tried to talk me out of it, Like, I've just, I got, I, and yes, I understand that even if they win this game, they still would have to go beat the Thunder. Like, I get it, but like, I just feel like I've already got to lose. Like, you know, it's just sitting in your account. Like, I've just already, like, mentally tabbed that as a loser.
So it's funny, before the before the first round started in both the NHL and the NBA, I played two series. I played the Clippers. I think I got it at plus 120. And I played the Avs, and I got that at minus 110. And both of those teams are playing game sevens tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I could have had losers, which ultimately I could end up having two losers. But, yeah, it was last night I stayed late after work to watch those two games home. Clippers get the win. And here's the thing, too. Like, the Clippers almost did it again last night. Like, they almost blew it last night.
So, I've also got a dangerous spot here. Because you and I have talked about oftentimes betting the NBA is just like you're literally just flipping a coin. But you and I have also talked about if you kind of watch the games, and in particular in the NBA, if you see a team get out to a pretty big lead, if you go take the other side, there's a decent chance it comes back. Not always. Like sometimes teams like the Warriors will punt on the game. But I've had a couple of pretty good hits recently. Like last night I took Denver +12.5, I think basically to start the fourth quarter. And now I'm starting to have success, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, small menu, I'm making smart bets, I'm just going to keep winning. But I also know in the back of my mind, when we get to football season, I'm going to have 38 bets on a Saturday.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny because I have a spreadsheet that I keep all my bets in, and you know, knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses is an important thing in life, especially sports betting. And I'm not a hockey guy. I can't break down a hockey game for you. I'm looking at my spreadsheet. I am way up in hockey because I'm just like listening to smart people and finding spots. And I'm like break even on the NBA. I'm like, God, I can't figure this thing out. So I don't know. I do think I'll say this. I kind of think the Cavs are going to smash the Pacers. I have a gut feeling that the two Eastern Conference semifinals are going to be wildly anticlimactic. Maybe we get a good game or two, but I bet the Cleveland Cavaliers at DraftKings double result, which is win game one, win the series. And
yeah.
I believe that's minus 185. Let me double check that price. Yeah, still minus 185. I just, you know, it's funny. I think I was listening to Simmons, and he was like, wow, this is wild. This series price is disrespectful. And I'm like, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, okay, Cavs are winning this one pretty comfortably, aren't they? So I
agree with you, and I want this to not come across as like, I think there's a lot of people that still don't believe in the Cavs, and I think that they've proven, like, you should believe in them. They're very good. I just actually think so little of the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks are any good. If you tell me one of those two series is competitive, it's just because I think the Pacers are better than the Knicks.
I think the Pacers, I don't want to say peskier than the Knicks.
You have to adjust for them because they don't play, like, and
here's,
now maybe
here's
the problem is, like, Cleveland's going to be built to play that fast pace, and so maybe you're 100% right. This is just going to be an absolute filleting.
I think the Pacers could win a game or two. That's why I played it the way that I did. I think the Cavs will win game one. They've been rested. Indiana had some rest, too. And then I don't know how I'm going to attack the New York-Boston series, but I just – look, Jalen Brunson's awesome, but, like – you're now facing, assuming he's back and healthy, Drew Holiday, and then it's like, oh, Drew Holiday's hurt. Okay, let's throw Derek White on him. And it's like, good luck, man. Like,
I just don't think you beat the Celtics by getting to the free throw line.
It does shape up to be Cleveland, Boston, and that's gonna be fun, man. I think that's gonna be
a heavyweight fight.
That's gonna be an awesome Eastern Conference final, if assuming we get it, and it's going to be similar. I don't know if you noticed it. The two hockey series we have in the second round in the East, Caps versus the Canes and Maple Leafs versus the Panthers. The team without home ice is the favorite in both. Yeah. And I think we'll get that in the Eastern Conference final. I think the Celtics will be the favorite. Not massive, but they'll be the favorite over the Cavs.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to the cake boss, Buddy Velastro, who was arrested last night on suspicion of DUI. Today in court, according to the prosecutor, Velastro told cops during his arrest, "I had a couple of drinks. You can't arrest me. I'm the cake boss." I kind of like that. You can't arrest me because I'm the cake boss. Turns out they can and did arrest him. But rule number one, don't tell the story. Tell your story. All right, my man.
Did you see the woman in Philly who pooped on another car and got arrested?
Elko arrest. Yeah, we finally, that menace is off the streets. That's fantastic. Glad to see the cops getting some of the real bad guys. All right, man, have a good weekend. Win all your bets.
All right, man, safe travels home.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. Again, want to give a quick shout-out to our producer, George Ruggiero. Big week this week, handling all the shows, keeping it rolling back in studio. Can't thank you enough, buddy, and I appreciate your hard work.
Thank you, sir. Back at it next week.
For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The birthday boy, Gabe Kunz, coming up next.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.